Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, welcome to the Overseas Connection. Today is January the 28th on the year of our Lord, 2017. My name is Robin Tate. I am at Bongo the Sane. That is me in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our wonderful podcast. This is a gaming program for our community. We're a group of mature gamers from around the world who love being social. We love video games. We love to have fun. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, stay tuned and enjoy the show. Good evening, everybody. Tonight I have a motley crew of strange but somehow lovable people. I have the wonderful man and wonderful woman. I seen she chipped in first. I have Kim. Good evening, Kim.
How are you, gamer girl? I'm good. I had a little internet hiccup there. I didn't know if I was going to make it, but here I am. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. You know, it wouldn't be the Overseas Connection if we didn't have a hiccup here and there. So,
indeed.
You know, as long as a mic falling or some drywall landing on your head or Mark's wife snoring or a small hamster invading the podcast. We'll get to the hamster in a minute or two. Mark, right. Mark Annex, good evening. You're with me spinning the decks tonight. Are you?
Yes. Hello, Mark Annex here. Yes, I am doing the streaming and the sounds. So, production manager tonight. How are you doing, Robin? Are you looking forward to hosting?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm really starting to enjoy this now. I mean, yeah. I used to be a fear of dread and peril when the call came. I think part of the stress is away now that I have this set up all the time permanently in place,
yeah.
Which you're not hoping to hook everything up and make it all work. So, and just as President Greg said last week, we have the best people. We have really good people. The best. They are great. We have the best people. They're good.
When they make it.
When they make it, yeah. Yeah, it was like rats leaving a sinking ship tonight. Or not rats, but hamsters. We have a small gentleman with us tonight with a hamster beard. Gary Lever from the Games Men podcast has kindly joined us tonight. Could we see your cute little hamster grin, please, Gary? Let me see.
I love my dog please. Goes off right now, too.
I can say my hamster's got a bit of a sore throat.
Gary, welcome to the show. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And
I am so full of steak.
Yeah.
Where have you been then?
Anything good?
Big-ass steak. We went to Longhorn Steakhouse after watching Resident Evil. We got it's called a
sweet potato.
I got a loaded baked potato, and she got fries. And we got it was called a porterhouse for two, and it's a 30-ounce steak. And we destroyed it. It was so good.
Oh, I love that they do this beautiful thing with their steak. I mean, Mark, it's gorgeous. It's like it's a big sweet potato, and it's done with brown sugar and tons of brown sugar and more and probably honey in there as well. And it's just absolutely stunningly gorgeous. It's like a dessert beside your steak. It's just, yeah, Longhorn. I know it's a chain, but it's really, it's one of some of the best steaks and stuff you can get.
I remember
really
the first
good.
Time I had I made sweet potato chips in the oven. It's supposed to be quite healthy. And I thought, this doesn't look right good, but when I tasted it, oh my God, I was hooked. I love sweet potato chips.
Yeah, my wife's been making more sweet potatoes and stuff too lately because just all of her medical issues and everything, like she's trying to do not gluten stuff and all this other things, but yeah, she's been testing out, like, making stuff with cauliflower, and then making, oh, cat's up here again, making, like, sweet potato fries and stuff like that, and it's been pretty good. I normally don't eat sweet potatoes.
So, Gary, your wife had a big operation earlier in the year. She's doing well now, I would assume. She's starting to recover, getting better. Is good progress?
She's got sexy hair now. It's a nice, short, sexy hairdo. She loves it. But yeah, she's been doing a lot better. She had her surgery in August, and then she was off work for a month while she was recovering. She went back in September, and she's been doing pretty good, actually. She recovered pretty well.
Well, you can pass on. She does a really, really sexy selfie. I mean, she does those really good. Now this pouty look up to the camera that she posts up on Facebook, it's fantastic. It warms the heart.
I don't know how she does it. She has, like, this anime face, too. It's weird.
Well, that's good. That's really good to have you here. Kim, give us a progress update. We're all really interested to see how close you are to the house. You've actually passed your deadline
several times.
So where are you now?
Well, we're sort of in a holding pattern because I'm waiting for the extra floor to come in, and then they sent me an email telling me they can't ship my extra floor to me, so now I have to go find some extra floor. So we're kind of a little holding pattern. We're doing little things, like we still have to paint one room and, you know, just little bitty stuff. I'm sanding window trim, that sort of thing. So, but, you know, we're hoping February.
Are you in the new house at all yet? Or is it no?
Sadly, no.
Yeah, I seen the photograph of your dad the other day, like, out snoring away. Yeah, day's hard work. Yeah.
Well, that's
not easy making a house.
No, it isn't.
Definitely not much for us to do, yeah.
Especially when there's only two of us, so.
What about you, Mark? What have you been up to, mate?
I mentioned it last week. I ordered a HOTAS because you guys had a lot of pleasure and fun taking the mickey out of me, saying I'm getting a Thrustmaster.
I'm sure you've had lots of pleasure from it. Yeah.
But my Thrustmaster X arrived this week, and I've set it up, and I've done all the PC wankery stuff of binding all the keys and everything in Elite, and it's running great, and I love it. It's ace. A little funny story. It's got a throttle control on this, so you push it forward for throttle in up and then pull it back for throttle back. But obviously on the original controller, you just press buttons to throttle up and throttle down and whatever. So I'm docked in this...
Press my buttons.
I'm docked in a space station, and I'm just about to launch, and I didn't realise my throttle was fully forward. And then as soon as the docking clamps released, my ship went straight forward and crashed straight into the control tower. So, yeah, that didn't go down right. Well,
my screw-ups have always been, have you used the boost where you, like, push a button and you boost?
Yeah.
I've made the mistake of accidentally, you know how you go into the hexagonal space stations?
Yeah.
And I go in and I accidentally tap the button and your ship full forces, and, like, I pull back and put full reverse on and, like, punch it, and then, like, I just tap my nose of my ship to the back of the wall. I'm like, oh shit. I've almost blown up many times.
I was doing some skimmer missions earlier today where you have to shoot some little skimmer things on a planet surface, and I was using my ship and I just nosed down.
Sorry, hold on. You were rimming?
Skimmer.
What?
Skimmer.
It was rimming the planet.
I was nose down at the planet, and I caught the boost button by accident, and I just, bang, straight in the ground, bounced off again. Luckily, my shields held my ship together. But, yeah.
I've been playing with my Thrustmaster.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of foreshadowing. about 2 hours ago, I was sitting in my hot tub. It's arrived.
Oh, yeah. It's
on Thursday. So tonight was my sister-in-law's 40th birthday, and we had all the kids and all the family over here tonight. And so it arrived on Thursday about lunchtime, and we temporarily set it up and got it filled yesterday. And it was a sort of a race against the clock to get it heated up and to get the chlorine and bits and pieces in it and get it leveled, because it takes sort of 24 hours for the chemicals to sort of settle down. But we were there for Americans. 104 degrees, water, bubbling LED lights in the way. And my sister-in-law, she wanted McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy. What do you call him? Him, the doctor. She wanted Philip Schofield and Anton Deck to be at her birthday party.
Yeah, I wonder why y'all have masks on.
So, yeah, so myself and my two brother-in-laws and my son got into the hot tub and put on these masks of these various people. And then after dinner, so we quietly came in, and then she came in to see what we were up to. We were out supposedly playing pool, and she arrived, and there we are all sitting in the hot tub. And it was cool. So, yeah, hot tub's brilliant. Really, it's cool. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. Last night we were out. It was one of like a fostering network, people that we foster with. It was our sort of Christmas do, and we were out at a nice restaurant without children. It was so there was like 30-odd foster carers there. We had just left our kids at home, locked in the room so they would be safe with some food and stuff. So it was okay to leave them alone. I don't get out often. I really don't. I was accused of being quite loud last night. It was a lovely restaurant, and the drink went in, and the crack was mighty, and I was feeling a little worse for wear this morning. I think I was a bit worse for wear when I was WhatsApping you last night when I came back in, because the fingers were slurring my words. But yeah, we had a fantastic night. You know what? I can't remember the last time that Judith and I really had a night out without kids. And it's just so odd for us not to have people around us or somebody to look after. So, it was good. The cocktails were flying, the wine. You know, when you've had a cocktail and maybe a drink, and then the wine comes to the table and there's red and white, and they keep on putting more bottles there. But towards the end of the night, you're drinking maybe white, but then there's half a bottle of red left, so it gets mixed and it turns into rosé, and you just don't care what you're drinking. You just keep on going because it keeps on getting coming. So, yeah, that was good fun. Yeah, so we had a good night's crack. And that's it for another probably year until the next time we get out. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We are here to talk about video games. And as you may have noticed, our glorious leader, Mr. Murphy's Law, is not here this evening, and he is off to a Trump training school to try and further his president business credentials. So I hope that's going well. It's the best school, I'm told. It does the very best training. They have great training.
The first hour's training is Greg just walking up to people, shaking their hand, saying, "Hello, I'm important. Hello, I'm important."
Yes, that would be about right. Yes. Hadouken.
Hadouken to your face.
Hadouken to your face. Okay, so games that we've been playing. Let's our guest go first. Amras, what have you been up to? You're from the Games Men podcast. You're like the transatlantic equivalent of Morris Dancers of a gaming podcast. You do all sorts of weird and wonderful games, and like strange things, and like little ribbony games and Nintendo things. So you finished a game today or yesterday, which was like, it takes 6 years to complete. It's a ridiculous amount of hours.
Yeah,
so tell us all about Dragon Quest VII.
Yeah, I saw on the Yog that it said like 72 and a half, and I beat it about 80 hours. No, 85 hours I had on it. And I picked up this game as soon as it came out. And this was like back in September, July or something like that. And I was only playing it at work, which I only get a half an hour a day for 5 days. And so I was only putting in 2.5 hours a week. And about 2 weeks ago, I said, screw this. Because I only had 40 hours in the game, so in 2 weeks I put another 40 hours into it, and I just played this game basically for the last 2 weeks, and it would have been my game of the year last year if I would have beat it, but it's so amazing. Like the stories that get told in it are so good, and like you find out.
Sorry, Gary. What type of game is this? Is this an RPG?
It's a JRPG. So it's a turn-based role-playing game from Japan.
And this game actually came out on the PlayStation. I think it was the original PlayStation. I can't remember if this is the one that didn't come over to the U.S., but they remastered it on the 3DS. And so it's the first time I ever got to play it. And my favorite game, which I'll be talking about in a little bit, is Dragon Quest VIII, because that just came out last week. So I finally got to put... That's the other thing. Like, I had to complete this game so I could go to the next one. And, but... So, like, yeah, you're going through, it's a whole turn-based thing, and you can actually, like, go through, and it took me to about 60 hours in to actually turn on its tactics, and basically you can set it so your teammates or, you know, people in your group will attack on their own, or you can set it up so, like, they just heal, or they don't use magic, or they go full out, just, like, biggest, best attacks that they have. And so you're going into it, and you go through at the very beginning, and then you got to find all this stuff because you open up this shrine that has a bunch of basically puzzles, and you find fragments of stone that you piece together, four different colors, and you piece them together, and once you piece one together, it sends you off to this it sends you to the past of this area or this island.
Sounds like shit, Gary.
It's awesome.
It really does. Then, it sounds like shit.
I love it.
Are you sure that this was like September, what was it, 2006? Is that when you got this game?
No, last year. but yeah, so you go to these different islands, and then they have just different stories for these different places, different elements that they this place may worship, like fire, water, air, all this stuff. And
Skylanders.
Yeah, exactly, Skylanders. But they bring just all these little stories of these different people, and then there's also points in it where you'll go to a different place, but it's in a different time, and maybe you'll finish that story up, and then there's a bridge to go down to the next island, which you did before, but it's like 30 years
later. Back to the future. Like Back to the Future sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And,
it's like Back
you get
to the Future
see...
with Skylanders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you get to see characters that you saw before, but they're grown up now. Or basically, once you finish the story of this island, the island appears in the present day. So you can go back there and you can kind of see the legacy of other character or of those characters that you helped out. And then they'll talk about like the heroes that came and helped out and did the stuff. And then like the game just goes up to this big climax. And then comes back down, and then it's like, oh, yeah, everything's good. And then, like, there's another climax.
God, do you, like, have a cigarette in between each one, or what?
Yeah, you need, like, five. Yeah, so, like, there's this – you beat this thing. Sounds great. You beat this enemy, and then, like, you know, you basically – you feel like you beat the game. And then, oh, no, you didn't beat the game, and then you go.
No spoilers. Jesus, Gary, come on.
I'm not giving any spoilers. Half people won't make it past 20 hours in this thing. Yeah, and then you go, and then this stuff happens, then you have to beat, like, the ultimate bad guy thing.
So this is – let me just write this down. Dragon Quest 7. Just write it down my list here, and I'm just going to put a line through it. Okay, I'm not playing that.
If you don't like JRPGs, you're not gonna be able to deal with it.
Okay,
but
as long as you're having fun.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. I have to do my Year of Living Gamers Gamejurously write up on it now. Probably in the next couple days. And that's going
to
be a long article because there's so much stuff.
It's so
good. It's awesome. The only bad part about the game was after you beat the last boss, because they make you do a world tour and go to every single place that you've been to in present day, and then everyone basically thanks you for saving the world. And that was an extra probably hour. To spend just going to these different places so they could tell me thank you so I could finish the game.
So it's like the Eagles final tour. So it's like Back to the Future, Skylanders, and the Eagles farewell tour.
Exactly.
You know what? Actually, it's starting to sound better, Gary. I think I might.
I'll give you my save state at the end so you can go do the world tour.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I see you've also played the next one, but I'm not going to ask you about it. But you're on to it now as well. So you're not giving yourself a break for something else. You're not going to. You're going to go straight into Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not going to be full into this one. I'm going to kind of let it go slowly. But it's good because they also have the tactics thing that's in 7. But you can also set it for your character as well. So, like, basically I can do attack, and then you can set up the speed of the battles to go faster. So, like, you're just like, hammering shit, and I leveled up in, like, an hour, like, 6 times already. So, and then I bought some equipment, and now I'm actually going to do something in the actual game. Probably do that tonight or maybe play something else. But, yeah, this one, like, it was my all-time favorite Dragon Quest, and this I played on the PlayStation 2 whenever it came out years ago. But I love this game.
Brilliant. You know what? It takes different strokes for different folks. It sounds brilliant, and I know you love this, and I'm sorry for winding you up. But, yeah,
you're worth it. I love everything, though. From Putt-Putt to Call... No, I hate Call of Duty. We're not going to get there. To Titanfall, right. There we go.
Kim, people have been writing in asking us about Gems of War. And they're looking for some strategy guides, some ideas of how to start with Gems of War, the best way to go through it. There's some achievement hunters out there. And as you are a resident expert on Gems of War, let's talk about a real game now. So Gems of War, what do you think? What advice would you give people, Kim?
Start slow.
Yes, that's good. Know. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Start slow.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know,
write that. Start slow. Start there slow. You go. Okay, I've got it written down. Yep.
Go in. You know, start. Don't go very long. You know, take little short. You know, breaks in between there because you don't want to overwhelm yourself with all the
coffee.
Maybe
coffee in between each round.
Maybe a Red Bull, perhaps. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to get yourself too worked up and excited because you know it is Gems of War after all.
Yeah,
so and all that,
it has war in it. There's war. This is important.
Yes, indeed. There is war, you know, because whenever you match 3 skulls, you go over and you bash the other guy over the head. So,
I think there is that. Skulls, it has Red Bull, it has war. You know what, Kim? Yeah, this sounds like the game for me. It sounds like a... Yeah, it's deep.
And it's free even, so, you know.
Oh, goodness me. And you're still playing this wonderful game?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. But
I actually got someone in our Gaming for the Elderly Guild, so, you know, I don't want to leave him hanging, so.
But what amazes me, Robin, is she hasn't even put that down on what she's been playing on the list.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Well, you know. We had 44 emails asking about Gems of War. And the first thing that they wanted to know was, how do you actually start the game? And it was like, you actually clicked on the icon was my reply to that. But is there any extra things that you have to do with it, Kim? Or do you just click on the icon?
Yeah, you just start. And, I mean, you level up your heroes as you go along. You know, you'll get keys to unlock chests to get more heroes. And yes, chests. Uh-huh. Indeed.
Are they big chests or small chests?
It depends. Sometimes they're big chests, sometimes they're little, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what to say, you know, like, you know, we like a medium chest, you know, there's no sense having really big chests because just with those, they're just all over the place. But at least with a medium chest, there's some room for a surprise. And it's good. So, like, Gems of War is a fantastic game. I also see you've been playing another game.
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
And what is that, Kim?
It's King's Quest, as a matter of fact. It's a little episodic, kind of like a Telltale game. It's actually a remake, because apparently it came out years before, so they've remade it. And it's, like I said, it's a nice little game. You play a hero, and you get to see how he went from being the hero he started out to be to the king that he is now. And so he tells you his life story as you go along.
Is this like a cartoon or like a hand-drawn thing? Is it? Or
yes.
What does it look like? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little hand. Well, I assume it's hand-drawn. It's a nice looking game. I'm trying to think what you might compare it to. I don't know. I suppose you'd compare it to The Wolf Among Us a little bit, maybe.
Okay, so it's wolfy. Are there wolves in it?
Yes, indeed, there are wolves in it. I had one attack me the other day. So yes, there are wolves in it.
But I mean, there's different. There's King's Quest 1, 2, and 3. The sort of thing is there is like a whole progression story.
Yeah. What is there? There's 6 episodes, and it goes through different times in his life. Like right now, I'm only on the first episode, so I'm right when he first started, how he became, you know, the hero that he is to the king that he is now, and he's telling his granddaughter, "This is what I did to get where I'm at." And he's sharing it along with her, I think, in hopes of maybe getting her to pick up his hat and going on her own adventures. So,
okay, so I think I've dragged everything that I possibly can out of you and squeezed the Stone Drive for Gems of War and King's Quest, really and truly. I think there's a collection being raised for you in the chat right now to help you buy some new games.
Fred is setting up a collection here.
I have 20 games. I'm just trying to get them off my list. I thought that's what we were supposed to do.
That's the idea.
You tell him.
Yeah. We want to remove that big fat zero to at least a 1 on your year of living games.
Exactly.
Game. Please, Kim.
You know, and as soon as I stop building a house, I'll have more time to play games.
Excuses. You know, come on.
I should be playing Dragon Age.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. I got to finish that, by the way. So,
Oh, God.
Anyway, okay. Thank you very much, Kim.
Sure.
I'm sure I'm going to hear something very, very exciting now, something new and original and absolutely groundbreaking from Mark. Mark, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a new game which came out in 1984 called Elite. But it's revamped for modern days. Now, I've been playing Elite Dangerous still. That's all I've played since Christmas.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah, I can't stop playing it, man. And like I said, when we're getting the Hotas flight stick this week, it's just totally immersion now. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. So I'm just...
Okay. Well, okay. Earlier today, I asked you to have a think about Elite because it is a daunting game.
Yes.
So I asked you to think about how you would recommend somebody that, and lots of us have it, and lots of us started it and then got frightened of it. So what would you recommend people? How do you start? How do you not just press the icon? But what would be your starter's guide to Elite? So what's the best way to get in?
A lot of games have them, and a lot of people just whiz past them and don't do them, but you really need to play the tutorials on this game. There's even videos for you to watch on how things are done before you do the tutorials. So yeah, I'd highly recommend doing the tutorials. If you've no Elite experience at all, then you definitely need to practice docking at stations, leaving stations, because you have to request authorization for docking and everything. So it's quite a realistic as realistic goes for being in space simulator. Once you've got the hang of handling your ship and everything, you need to start earning a few credits to get the bigger and better ships. What I've done is, and what I've been doing on the PC for the past 4 weeks, is exactly what I did on the Xbox. I've got to the stage now where I'm in exactly the same position on the PC version as the Xbox. And what I start off doing is I do what's called bounty hunting. Which is quite easy. You can do it in the starting ship you're loaned with. You get a Sidewinder, which is a really basic, cheap ship. A couple of pulse lasers on it. Not a big shield, not a big hull. But what you do is you go to these either navigation beacons where everyone seems to go to get information about that system you're in for navigation purposes. Or you can go to a resource site where people go mining, and you always find like wanted people there, people who are like pirates or have done some crimes. Once you scan them and you've got the wanted label up, what you can do is, if you're brave enough, you can just try pick them off and destroy them, and you get the bounty for it. But if you're clever and you don't want to risk being blown up yourself, what you do is you wait for the police. There's the Federation alliances and everything. They fly around these areas. And if you go into a low-risk area, there's a lot more police. If you go into a high-risk area, there's less of them. So these police will start shooting these ships. And once they get their shields down and their hull down to a little point, you blast a couple of shots in to register the hit, and you get the bounty. So it's kind of easy. That's pickings.
Poaching.
Yeah, poaching. Yeah, it is, yeah. And I've been trying to, it's been hard because I've been trying to teach Gary DeFelice how to do this, but that's been over WhatsApp and Discord.
That's an uphill climb, that. Yeah, I mean, you know, really.
Like, tomorrow, hopefully, we should better get online together and wing up, because we've not had a chance to do that yet. But yeah, he's done a bit today. I saw his footage, what he twitched, and he did take a couple of ships out. He did all right, and he did get blown up himself. The video what's showing now on the stream is not my penalty from Extra Life, because I ain't ever showing that ever again, because that was horrendous.
So Gary took some ships out. He took ships out, and he played games.
Yeah. The footage I'm showing now is from earlier today, where I was travelling to a station and I got what's called interdicted.
Yes.
Now that is not something to make Kim laugh, believe it or not. Although she is laughing.
Delvin did.
Yeah.
That
when you're in Super Cruise,
tell me about your interdicting.
They can take it out of Super Cruise by called interdicting. And you can either submit to it or you can fight it. So on the video now, I just submitted to it, cause I'm in, an ASP Explorer and it's got quite a few, decent weapons. It's got four lasers and, two multi-cannons. What's everyone laughing at, man? Come on.
Put your Thrustmaster in your ass.
So
interdicting.
So this guy who interdicted me is actually, when I scan him, when I figure out which button it is to target him, because I'm still getting used to my HOTAS, he's actually an expert, which is quite a high level combat, but I still get his shields down and blast the shit out of him. So, but his bounty was shit. I only got 600 credits for him. But some of his bounties can be like 30,000, 40,000, some are 100,000 odd.
So, Mark, okay, so you're playing this like for mads. For mads, it's like it's a job. I mean,
How
long do you foresee into the future, like Gary's Time Machine game? How far will you be playing this game?
Only for about another, 12, 13 years, I think. Not long.
Seriously?
I mean, yeah,
is it not repetitive yet? Or is there enough variety?
No, because once I got enough money from doing the bounty missions, I bought a Cobra Mark III, and then I started doing some other missions called Skimmer missions, massacre missions, where you have to go down to planet surfaces, which is part of the Horizons thing, and it's really cool going out on the planet surface and everything, and taking out these little floating drone things, Skimmers, I mentioned it the other week, and once you start doing these missions, you get more and more respect from the faction you're working for, and I've now become allied with them, because I've got all the way up from cordial to friendly to sort of like allied now, so I'm getting 2 million credits per mission for these jobs, and I can
friends with benefits.
Yeah, and I stack about 6 missions at once. I go off to this other system, kill the skimmers, come back, and I cash in like 10, 12 million at a time for an hour's work. And so that's how I've got.
I can't remember when a game has got you so hard.
The Division.
And I'm not talking about your interdicting.
Not my HOTAS, no. The Division got me semi before, but no, this has got me. Now, like I said, there's a lot of nostalgia for me because I played this back when I was 14. I used to love going over to see my auntie and uncle and my cousins in Sheffield, because my cousin had an Acorn Electron and he had Elite, and it was wireframe graphics.
Yeah.
Shitty sound. It was absolutely basic as can be. I'm going to try and get some gameplay up on it.
I'm sure you thought it was amazing back in the day.
It was amazing. I could never dock. I always shot any ship I saw, which was usually a police, and they killed me instantly. But ever since then, I was hooked. And when... I know they've made some since then, but I think it was on Amiga, was it, Gary? Frontier, was it called?
It was. Well, I never played Frontier Elite 2, wasn't there? I played it on a... My first experience was really a Commodore 64 with it.
All right,
and I had we'll talk a wee bit about this, but I had my parents' roost base, and they changed the doors in the house, and I had three doors like up on crates, so right around me, and the Commodore 64 in the middle of the big TV, and I had the original Firebird. It came in a lovely cardboard box with the big Elite logo on it, the Firebird, and it had a poster of all the different ships, and I had it stuck on the wall in front of me and my notepad, and, yeah. and sometimes I would just fly through space, just to see if I could reach the planet without a hyperdrive. Yeah. I just got lost in the adventure of it all. And I'm just, the nostalgia must be back again. It must be in there.
Well, I've got on the stream now the Acorn Electron, Acorn Soft 1984 version of Elite. This is a loading screen where you load a new commander. And if you look at that, you can see a lot of nods to this original. I mean, you and now the map's very similar. The sort of like targeting, I don't know if this guy's with a book. Where's he come from? And it's just, you can see the ship's a Cobra. You can just see it's a Cobra. It was so good back then. But yeah, when this came out on the Xbox, I said it was in that game preview thing, like the early access. And I says to Greg, we've got to get this. No matter what, we've got to get it. So we went halves on it. We got it when it first came out. And we played a bit of it, but there were so many games out that year. I didn't put that much time into it. And then with the DLC coming on sale at Christmas, the Horizons DLC where you can do all the landings, I haven't stopped playing it since. So yeah, it's like crack a can to me. I'm absolutely
excellent.
Hooked.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun with it. That's good. Good.
And I think I've got a few people into it now as well, because Gary DeFelice has got it on the PC now, and I know Teflon's picking it, playing it again, and Gary even played it again recently, and Dan, once he gets his elbow finished,
he wants to get back
into it when his elbow's fixed.
I need to get back into that game again.
I am also slightly boring this week, but I am in this wonderful game, which is Metal Gear Solid Metal Gear, and just enjoying the backside out of it. And or the ripped stockings, if you want to talk about quiet. It is such a wonderful game, just so good. I played some of the best gameplay in a game this week that I've ever played. Just fabulous, you know.
Does it have the best gameplay?
Oh, friggin' oh, awesome. So good.
Have you played this guy? Just,
have you played? Have you been playing Metal Gear, Gary?
Me, no. I want to get into it. But I haven't picked it up yet. I'm actually going to pick it up probably on a Steam sale sometime. Because I have, Ground Zeroes, right? Thing to this? Yeah. I have that I've been wanting to play. And I've been wanting to play this game for a very long time. But I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah, it's really
good. Gary, I played the first hour or two of it and got sort of put off. And because it was very complicated. And I've went back to it and I've got into it. And I've got pushed past that bit. And it's just opened up to me. Like some of the gameplay this week, you know, there was one of the levels I had to go in and rescue this professor guy, and just some of the gameplay in one level, you helicopter in, you make your way to this target point, you fight past a checkpoint first, then you crawl past, so many different ways to do it, crawl past a sentry tower, then I planted some C4 to blow up later to cause a distraction. I climb on my belly through a stream, sneaked past a massive mech, climbed over the roof of an aircraft hangar, underneath a helicopter, onto the roof, through a window, sneaked, unlocked doors, got this guy, hijacked a mech, rushed my way out of the base, and then into the helicopter again, and away I went. It has just so much. It's so good. It makes you feel so badass. It's fantastic. So I am continuing to do that. I am quite sure that Metal Gear will have me for another few weeks, and probably I like to dip in and out of it every now and again. Now, it really did. It teased me like mad the other night. I mean, it teased me to death because Quiet is one of the characters in it, and Quiet is a unique individual. She's like the girl next door.
Oh, I bet she was teasing you.
Yeah. And I think she's eventually going to become a buddy to go out, and because I've got a dog that can come out and help me.
Oh, is she not a buddy? Is she not a team
and
companion
she's not a buddy yet? So I've been waiting for her to be a buddy. And one of the levels, I'm about to get onto my helicopter, and Quiet appears with all my my compadres around me, and she's about to get onto the helicopter and go, yes, great, here comes quiet. And they tease me, and they talk about her for a few minutes, and then they decide that she's not trustworthy enough to come with me, and she wanders off in her ripped stockings and her thong back to her little room again. And I go, oh, no! Kojima, you nightmare! So, yeah, that's quiet fun is still to come.
Yeah, no, so, you'll have
to. He knows how to tease your Thrustmaster.
Oh, too right. Too right.
What anyway. I love about this game is this, the variety it gives you. There's so many options and different ways you can complete these missions. You can go in stealthy, you can go in guns blazing. There's different paths to get to each area and stuff. You can do them in any order you want. You can do it without killing anyone. You can kill everyone you want. It's so good.
That's amazing how, you know, nighttime, daytime, rain has now come into play. Sandstorms can completely change how you attack a level. Yeah. And it's endless. It's just such a masterpiece of gaming.
Have you used the Phantom Cigar yet? Do you know what that's for?
It's for time or stopping time or something. Yeah. No, I haven't used it.
If it's daytime and you need the cover of darkness, you light a Phantom Cigar and it sort of like goes in a time lapse thing. And next thing you know, it's nighttime and you got the cover of darkness to infiltrate the base with.
You just like putting big things into your hands. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The only part I want out of this game right now, because I keep, every time they talk about it on the Game Punchers, like, the cameraman holds the door for you. That's brilliant.
Yeah, the first
every
bit
time
in
they
the hospital.
Talk
yeah.
about that, it
yeah.
kills me.
Yeah, a fish was fun is, enamored with that one.
Fultoning things is some of the best fun you're ever going to have. Right. So when you stick a balloon on the back of a sheep or another soldier that you've knocked out, and you know, it goes whizzing up into the air.
And the noise it makes when it goes, and he goes up. Yeah,
I think I got it. Was it a donkey? And it was quite funny. And I arrived in Africa and some sort of, I don't know, some weird thing. Anyway, yeah, and at the end of the level, you put these cages down and you collect all the different animals, and you captured a gerbil. Great. Brilliant. Absolutely good. Anyway, so look, one of the things that I also asked you to have a wee think about, not you, Gary, but you can join in, is just a wee bit of going back in where we all started with gaming. Kim, what was your first, not so much in the arcade or, you know, the 7-Eleven with the machine in the corner, but what was your first sort of gaming console, your gaming experiences at home? How did that all start for you?
Well, funny you should ask. We had a friend of ours from St. Louis, and his kids were always into gaming. So it got to where when he would buy them the next new system, he'd bring the old one up for us. So when he first started us out, it was the Atari 2600 was what started it. And he had brought up like a whole milk crate full of Atari games, and that's what got it started. I think I was like 13 or 14 at the time. So.
And do you remember any of the games you played there?
Oh yeah, we played a lot of, I played a lot of Adventure. I was bound and determined that was the one game I was going to beat, and I never did. But, oh yeah, there was Adventure and Stampede and, Warlords and, Tank Command and, you know, all those old Atari games that, we've all probably played at some point or another.
Utter shite.
But
it's what we had, and it was great. It was an arcade at home.
That, you know, that was, it was ours, and that was our first real, you know, having anything to do with the video games at home. So for us, that was, you know, we couldn't get enough of it. So,
sorry about this, but it was really a boys' thing back then.
Yep.
So was it? Frowned upon, but was a few eyebrows raised that you were as keen as mustard to play these games?
No, not really. No, because, good. You know, how I was brought up is I have two brothers, and I was treated no different than the boys were. I went out and I hunted, and we rode horses and, you know, did the chores, you know. There wasn't anything any different for me just because I was a girl. So, so playing video games, for me, that wasn't looked at, I was weird, you know. it wasn't until I got older
then they realized you were weird.
Yeah.
So I got older and found out, why do not other girls not play this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't until I moved on to different systems, like with the Xbox, and then it kind of dawned on me that, okay, wait, maybe this is sort of a weird thing, because,
no.
The first time you got online, oh my god, a girl!
Yeah.
What about you, Gary? Where did it all start for you?
Well, I'm a little bit younger than you guys. But, so I started off with a Nintendo, the original Nintendo, and it was kind of transition period between Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, because whenever I started playing games around that time, and the first real, because I used to watch my dad and my brother play games at the beginning, like one of the first ones that I really remember them playing was like Shining Force 2 on the Genesis, and I also remember watching like my brother play the original Legend of Zelda and stuff like that. But, once I actually, like, got into gaming, like, I started off on the Nintendo and Sega, and I used to play, like, Ultra Beast with my brothers, and I'm trying to remember one of the other ones. I think it was called Primal Rage. It was the one with, like, it was a lot of fighting dinosaurs. Games, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the monkey that farts at people. but, yeah, like, I played Mario and all that stuff, and Legend of Zelda. I didn't play Metroid for actually quite a while. Actually, no, we had Metroid, but I couldn't get past the first era because I could not comprehend how to play that game whenever I was, like, you know, five or so. But, like, that's kind of where, you know, I started. And I just we've always been lucky to always get, like, you know, the next one. And we always just shared the consoles and stuff. It wasn't until we were getting a little bit older that it was, like, we had two PS2s, two GameCubes, stuff like that. Because, jeez. Like, me and my youngest brother would share, like, one GameCube. My older brother would have a GameCube or a PS2. Like, I finally bought my own or something like that. And, I've played a very wide variety, but it's always been, like, RPGs and stuff. Like, I remember I was probably five or six, and I beat the original Final Fantasy. And I kind of picked it up because I knew what to do because I watched my brother play through these games, and I kind of understood that, and, like, we had, like, the Nintendo powers and stuff coming in, and kind of, like, reading through the magazines and trying to figure out some stuff to get through these parts. And, like, beating a JRPG when you're five is pretty amazing because I just remember, like, whenever in the original Final Fantasy, whenever you actually do, like, I can't remember what they call it, like, the evolve thing, or, you know, you change your class. I can't remember what it's called, but, like, you get to, like, the higher class of, like, what you start as. And I used to love that stuff, and I think that's kind of why I play so many of these kind of games. Like, I played the original Dragon War, which became Dragon Quest in the future. And, like, I used to play Dragon Quest and all that stuff, because it's kind of the games that they bought. I just play whatever, you know, they were bringing in the house, and I kind of grew up on playing RPGs. Yeah. That's all,
It got you early.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so weird.
No, you're not weird. Gary, actually, what age are you, Gary, if you don't mind me asking?
I will be 28, in 2 weeks. So, whoa.
Oh, 28. Wow. Lucky bastard. Mark, right? Where did it all start for you?
Right. How long have you got? It all started for me. I was about five or six.
Yeah.
Back in 1975. And my dad got a game machine called Pong. It's actually a Sondico machine, and it played a few other games. It had a light gun with it, had some paddle controllers, but the main game was Pong, the old tennis game. I've got it up on the stream now. And back in them days, that was cutting-edge technology. That was, like, amazing. Look at it. It's doing what we want it to do, and it's playing a game. And then shortly after that, my uncle got a new machine out, which was called the Atari 2600. I think it was 1977. And my dad, he always loved the latest technology. He always had to have the latest gadgets. And so when we saw my uncle's Atari and we saw Space Invaders running on it, which we loved in the arcades, my dad went out and bought an Atari 2600 and we got Pac-Man and Space Invaders. And ever since then, I have been hooked on video games, especially Pac-Man. I've got a long affinity with Pac-Man. I love Pac-Man that much. We was on holiday. I was about 7 or 8 years old. I managed to save all my pocket money up for this holiday trip. And on my first day there, I bought a portable Pac-Man machine, spent my whole week's worth of spending money in one day. And I just sat in this little park area in front of where the hotel was. I didn't visit the beach. I didn't visit the arcades. I just played this Pac-Man machine for a whole week.
Yeah, so, Atari 2600 was really the first thing that was mass produced for lots of people to have at home. It was that console. Yeah.
So the next sort of like big machine after that we had was the Amstrad CPC computer. Yeah. We used to play a lot of Chucky Egg on that. That hamburger one, I can't remember where you have to make the hamburgers.
Burger Time.
Yeah, and then there was the Hunchback one where you were running along with ramparts and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I did a remake of it. That was good.
Yeah. And then it was sort of like got into... I missed all the Amiga time. Never did all that stuff, probably because I just started work and I got hitched with Jenny. And we had kids really young. So all that part, we obviously concentrated on bringing up the two little ones and getting our sort of like home set up. So I missed all the, what the young people normally do, which is going out clubbing. I missed all the Amiga series and everything. And I got back into gaming, what was it? Early 90s, with the Mega Drive. Was it 80s or 90s? I can't remember now. So yeah, we did the Mega Drive era. Like Gary was saying, I did Road Rash. I loved Road Rash. I used to play, a lot of Sonic. Everything. We used to play everything on that thing. And we had the Mega Drive for a long time. We even got the Mega CD. With Sonic CD. It's actually still in the loft. I've still got it now.
That's worth a bobber.
Yeah.
No, hold on to it.
Yeah. We got the Saturn, we got the PlayStation 1, we got a PlayStation 2, we got the Xbox. Oh, it's just gone on from there. So
It's kind of odd because I missed out. I did have a lot of consoles way back. We did have an Atari 2600. I actually bought it from a guy in high school. I didn't play it that much. For me, gaming started. I've said this before, my parents had a caravan in a coastal seaside town called Portrush up on the north coast of Northern Ireland, and I would spend all summer there. And get away from the town, and there was lots of big arcades and literally stuff coming in. And I remember Space Invaders being the first, and those big, beautiful cabinets with that thumping bass that... It just had me at green cell being over the screen. The base is a different color. You know, that had me. And I was there, right, watching every week for, you know, Space Invaders and Galaxian and Galaga and Phileids and all of those bullet hell sort of shooters and the development of that and Phoenix. And so I lived through all that whole arcade thing. It was fantastic. But really, the first home device that I had was bought with my own money. It was a ZX Spectrum.
I forgot about that. I don't know.
Rubber keyed 16K. And I remember, I got upgraded very quickly to 48K. But I remember the night that I brought it home and set it up in my kitchen with a little TV. I had a ghetto blaster, a cassette of Jean-Michel Jarre knocking and loaded up Jetpack for the very first time. Yeah. And just, wow, you know, Jean-Michel Jarre, Jetpack. Mount Minor, Jet Set Willy later on, and just that was it. And I missed out on consoles that I didn't have. The real console I had was probably when Judith and I first started going out with each other. Was a PlayStation, a tipped PlayStation 1 was what I played way back, which is kind of odd, but it was before. With me, it was PCs. Yes, I was big style in the Amiga, because when the Amiga was out, I was at Electronic in Belfast. Never ended up doing Electronics. Anyway, at lunchtime, we would do the tour. It was around Belfast, and there was about four or five. We would have toured. There was one called the Model Shop. They sold models, but they held centers. So we went in there to see if they had any new in. Then Educational Company, which had computer game, and then Boots, because Boots, the chemist, used to have a computer. And at that, he goes, the big thing was PD, public software. It was all these little crappy programs and porn things and hacked programs, and we've all
just
swapped.
Can I just interrupt you one sec, Rob? Do you want to kill your video feed because you're going really Skypey?
I will. And all this personal domain or public domain software was just rife. It was everywhere. But we would go into Boots and we would have a PD software of some really, really bad ASCII porn or whatever it would be, and we would stick the disk in and load up the porn and set it on a 30-second delay with a bit of basic code and walk away and stand at the other end of the store, and then up porn thing come on and watch the staff go, what's going on? Oh yeah, stylish. And we were children, but it was absolutely great fun. Yeah, so, but it's interesting. We were all hooked, and we're still here now, and that's kind of cool. I love hearing the history of how people got into gaming and how it's sort of got its hooks in us. It's good. And I apologize for going slightly Skypey there, everybody. It was, I'm not a lot I can do about that. It's just the way it is. Anyway, some news.
You have to get your son to stop. Here. Stops watching porn at this time.
It should, it should be off. Yeah, it should be away by now. Has it cleared up a wee bit now? Yeah,
yeah, you sound a bit better. Yeah, it's still a bit scary. Okay, it's not too bad.
So, in the news at the moment, we have a bit of news about Mass Effect Andromeda. And if you are an EA Access member, you're going to get a 10-hour trial the week before launch, which is really cool. Actually, 10 hours is a big chunk of time. So what they're saying is at the beginning of the month, we have found out that EA Access members would get to play Mass Effect Andromeda for a limited time. And EA has now confirmed that both Access and Origin members will be able to play a 10-hour trial from the 16th of March. So your gameplay in this trial is also going to carry over to when the game releases as well.
Yeah,
so
you get achievements and everything, don't you?
Yeah, so that's kind of cool for us loggers that might want to wait. You'll get maybe 10 hours of it and then get it when it 6 weeks later when it's cheaper. So
have you guys seen the second cinematic trailer?
No, I'm actually sort of trying to do Blackout. I don't really want to know anymore now.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Does it have thrusts going on in it?
Kim's not sat there, not interested at all, are you? You don't like Mass Effect at all, do you?
I don't know. I might try the second one because I heard the second one.
Yeah, the second one is brilliant. Yeah. And a lot of people, I played the first one and I immediately got turned off from it. I didn't really like it that much. And then I heard everyone raving about it and I went back to it and I gave it a second chance. And boy, am I glad I did, because once you get into the story, that got me hooked in RPGs. I was a massive RPG player until then, and I loved that first game.
I really loved the first one.
Some of the emotions, I still feel that feeling when that bitch fucking shot my fucking Krogan, I forgot his name, was it Rex? In some storylines, she doesn't shoot him, but in my storyline, the fucking bitch shot him. And
yeah, you have to have still, your paragon up.
Yeah, it still gets me to this day, and it's years ago since I played it. The story, Matt, got me absolutely hooked in that franchise. I love the game. Absolutely love it.
See, whenever I played Mass Effect, like, I got really into it. I loved the whole space, like, drama. Like, it was awesome. And I played it through the first time. She kills Rex. Played through the second time, got my Paragon all the way up, and then saved Rex. So, like, by the time I moved into 2, which I didn't even get the game till like, a year after 2 came out, but I had full Paragon up, full Renegade up.
Yeah.
So I played through the game, like, 3 times and got, like, all the achievements, because, like, I was really into it back then. And I just played the shit out of 1. And then I didn't move on to 2 forever, and then I didn't finish 2 until, like, a couple years ago. And then I moved straight into 3 and finally finished the trilogy.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, it's a year later, and I can actually play Andromeda, which I may... Well, Jason says he's gonna punch me in the face if I don't get it day 1, but I may be waiting a year on this one, who knows? Because I have a lot of RPGs this year.
I think there was the problem with 1 was it was a very, very slow start.
And it was a bit clunky, was combat, but yeah. That was intentional because the more you leveled up you and your crew and stuff, you got better. And
People kept telling me that wait until you get away from the Citadel and then the game opens up. And they were absolutely right. You sort of get through that Citadel bit and away it went. And it's a fabulous game. Yeah. I think it's probably looking a bit creaky now.
I don't know. I've seen some people stream it because it's become backward compatible now, hasn't it, on Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a few people playing it again and streaming it. And 2 and 3 still hold up, in my view.
I think 2 is a fabulous game.
He's playing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 is a fabulous game. 3 is a good game too. Okay,
yeah, two is the best. Yeah,
the end was a bit, still a good game. But 2, just the crescendo of the end of that game is fabulous.
I remember. When I was playing the second one. Well, before I started playing it, Chris Matthew, he loves the franchise as well. He kept saying to me all the time, "Mark, make sure you do all the loyalty missions before you do the end game." And level them all up as much as you can and get them all on side before you do the end game. And I did. And I did what he said, and I'm glad he did, because that last mission, you need all your crew with you. Yeah, it's superb. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so we're very much looking forward. Some of us are very much looking forward to that. So one of the things that I never done, is I never played as a female Shep, femme Shep.
That's surprising.
Yeah. I think my next character, if I get that choice, will be a femme.
Yeah.
I remember in the first one, I just played with Joe Bloggs, main vanilla character. And for Mass Effect 2, I tried to create myself, but I looked a bit intersex. So for Mass Effect 3...
Quite realistic, then.
Mass Effect 3, I just went vanilla again. some Nintendo Switch news. There's a research company, not that we can believe much they say, but what they're saying is that the Nintendo Switch is going to sell 40 a million. That's 40.00.00.00 by 2020. And this is what their forecast is saying. The research firm DFC Intelligence has issued a sales forecast for Nintendo Switch. And according to its estimates, the hybrid is slated to outsell its predecessor by 26 million units by 2020. So their analysis is saying that sales are expected to be limited at first due to the launch lineup and lack of stock, typical. But by 2020, the firm expects Nintendo Switch to have sold 40 million. What they're actually saying is compared to the lifetime sales of the Wii U, which wouldn't be hard to beat, I suppose, by 2016, DFC remains guarded in its forecast. So what they're saying is that the demand is expected to be strong, and the major issue will be whether the system can attract a broad audience. Starting in the holiday season of 2017, the Switch is a compelling piece of hardware that could potentially reach a much larger addressable market. However, given the limited software and Nintendo's poor recent track record of introducing new products, we have tempered our forecast to be conservative. So they're saying that 40 million is conservative. that if they get it right and get the software out for it, it'll do much better than that. 40 million by 2020, that's what, 3 years? The estimates aren't that big. I mean, I think there's a bit more buzz about this than Wii U.
I don't, Gary, there's also a lot of hate for it as well, isn't there? There's a lot of people saying it's not going to be powerful enough.
Yeah, I don't know. Frig, I don't know. Gary, you would be the man to comment about this, I suppose.
Well, yeah, it's on. Okay. I was like, it's not showing me as unmuted. Okay, so the problem is they're more marketing this as a home console than a handheld that can, you know, be plugged into a TV, basically, which is how it really should be marketed, because as a handheld, it's the most amazing thing in the world. As a home console, it's weird. So I think if people look at it a different way, it is really awesome how they're doing it. And then the way, you know, for me, it's a little bit different anyway, because, like, I only get that half an hour on lunch that I play, and, like, say Courtney wants to watch Netflix or something like that, I can actually go and, like, pick up the Switch and actually play it instead of, like, my Wii U's over there. And if it's, like, a dual screen kind of thing, it doesn't really work too well, and it's, like, big and clunky, but this is actually, like, small and nice, like a nice tablet that you can actually, like, put controls onto. And so it depends. This could hit really big as, like, you know, this tablet kind of thing that people play on. I don't like that they're not going to have video streaming and stuff, and how they said it may not even come to it, which I thought that would have been day one, but it's not, which is really weird. But I know I'm going to love it because of I'm going to be able to play Zelda at work. This new amazing Zelda at work kind of thing, and I'll be able to take it around like wherever I want to while I'm doing stuff, just like I was doing today. Like, I have my 3DS in the car, and having a nice crisper image than what the 3DS actually like produces will be a lot nicer to stare at for a couple hours. Like, I literally sat in my wife's car today while she was at work because we weren't going to make it to the movie in time, and she actually came home, we went back out. So I stayed there for the 4 hours that she worked today. And to be able to do that kind of stuff would be awesome. The biggest thing is going to be demand on day one and for this year. I do think – I'm hoping that they're going to bring out more stuff, and, like, just what they've shown isn't going to be the entirety of 2017. Because I was talking to Steve, Jason's Lifelike, about it. And before the whole thing happened, I was telling him, like, you know, if they have a main game come out, like, every 2 months for the next 2 years, this thing will be amazing and it'll sell very, very well. And they kind of have a couple things. They're kind of bringing back other games, which I expected, like a remaster of Mario Kart, which is awesome because they're redoing battle mode and all that. They have Zelda Day One, so that is going to be a game that people will play for months anyway, probably. And then you got Mario Kart, which is going to be a big thing for people to play on it. Then you got Splatoon, which people love. Mario by the end of the year. Now, they say that Xenoblade is going to come out, which is something for, I know, I'll love. But, like, they kind of, I was hoping that they'd have a different, like, another, I don't know, maybe not Donkey Kong, but I'm trying to think of one right now. Like, tease of Metroid. Hopefully Metroid it comes out during E3. I'm sure that they have to save some stuff.
I think they have a fantastic back catalog that they're not making use of. I think the Wii U sales, they could relaunch all of those Wii U titles like Pikmin and Super Mario World and all of the stuff that was launched for the Wii U again almost immediately. I mean, that would be fantastic just to have. What a great thing. Yeah, what the hell? You have to go out and buy it again. But there's so many people are excited for this new hardware, and I'm excited for the hardware, but not so much for the software. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But if they had just done that, I just don't understand it.
Hoping with the whole, I'm sure there's going to be a big backlash to the whole you get a game for a month and then it's gone. We still don't know if you're going to be able to have all the games that you bought on the virtual console before. They have to do that because, like, just making people buy it again, this is, like, they have it so you have an account that can actually knows that you bought this stuff. Yeah. So they need to actually give people their games that they bought probably three times already.
We're going to know soon enough because it's not that far away now.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a big backlash to the you know, get a game for a month and then not get it again. Because, you know, those are old games. And
I'm not really worried, really, to be honest, because they are old games. I mean, they are old games.
That's what I was saying, too, because it's like, you know, you're going to play this game, you're probably only going to play it for a month and then just bitching about because you don't have it for the month after. Do you care that much?
Are you going to play Donkey Kong NES for a month?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder, I do wonder what they're going to bring out and stuff like that, what games they're going to kind of do. Also, the phone app thing for the chatting and shit's dumb. I just hope, you know, they're going to get backlash, and then they're going to do, like, an Xbox, you know, PlayStation, all that. Like, you know, they weren't that amazing whenever they started it. Nintendo should have been able to learn from them already, but hopefully that they do get bitched at by the community, and then they actually go and change some things around. Maybe by the time that the you know, before people actually have to pay for the whole service and everything. Especially, we don't even know how much it's going to be. So,
yeah, well, they have an open goal at the moment. Let's hope they put it into the back of the net.
Yeah, but to get to the 40 million by 2020, like, you know, that just depends on how they do in the first year, I think, to make people actually want to have it more. So
yeah. Okay. A nice little treat for us now. If you're a Spotify subscriber, Sega has dumped a load of its soundtracks onto Spotify. So things like Jet Set Radio, Golden Axe, stuff that I want there as well. I see Alex Kidd. I see some of the Sonic stuff. I see Super Hang On. Space Harrier. So there's an absolute ton of soundtracks now available for free. Well, free for your subscription to Spotify, but if you're a Spotify member, it's there for you. And also the nice one like Outrun. So you can have, was it Sea Splash or Summer Splash or Summer Spray? And go to Spotify. Those are all there now. I think there's about 40 or 50 soundtracks that they've stuck onto it, which is nice. So, that's a thing. Okay, a bit of Xbox news. Rest in peace, Xbox One Snap Mode. Snap Mode, when you could get a third or a quarter of your screen to the right to snap True Achievements or Sky News or whatever you wanted to put up on the side, that is going to disappear very, very soon. Snap Mode, the gimmick on Xbox One that lets you snap something else to the side of your screen while you are watching a movie or playing a game, is no more. Microsoft is ditching the feature to make the console's Dash run faster. The Xbox One Dash has always been a tad sluggish in parts, so a few people are going to miss it if they're getting faster response times elsewhere. Snap Mode will be removed as part of Xbox One update that will be rolling out in a few months' time, which also is bringing stuff like an interesting new co-pilot mode. Now, I've heard about that. I use Snap now and again.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Especially with the achievements.
For True Achievements or stuff like that, which is all right. If it, you know, maybe the dashboard is a little sluggish, but I never thought it was that bad.
It's improved a lot since the last few updates. The dash used to be really slow.
So now the dual button, that center button, is going to be a single press, and you'll get a whole new menu thing in it now. As part of this new update, you're going to be able to stream directly to Beam from your Xbox One as well as your PC. And that might be interesting, but they might get the netcode work really well for people like me that might be able to do a bit of streaming.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Beam is like a newish contender to the Twitch market and YouTube streaming. And Microsoft bought them out recently. Surprise, surprise. That's why it's going to be integrated into Xbox One. The thing with Beam is, I don't know if you're aware of this, Robin, it's got practically no delay on it at all, whereas Twitch has got about, what, 15-second delay? 5-second delay? Yeah. Something. Yeah. Beam has got about a 1-second delay on it. It's supposed to be top-notch netcode. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, and this co-pilot mode, I know it's a bit gimmicky, but it might be nice for people with young kids.
Yeah.
What co-pilot mode is going to be is, if I have a controller, I can control the buttons or the sticks, and the other person can control the buttons or the sticks. And you can decide what, so if you have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old that wants to play Minecraft, you can do some of the intricate stuff, and they can do all the digging and the jumping and stuff like that, which it's a small thing. Maybe for people that have a disability, this could be something that's very, very good for that. I know Glenn here with me, he loves pushing the stick forward and making the Minecraft man move. So that might open that up for Glenn, for us. So it's important to me. Okay, some quick news just to wrap up the news section. Codemasters has announced Dirt 4. And guess what? It has cars in it. Yes.
No way.
And it's coming out for all platforms on the 9th of June. And a nice little thing here, which we need to check out. Mario Kart's Rainbow Road has been remade in Halo 5. And it looks absolutely brilliant. You can take your big chunky SUV out onto a Rainbow Road racetrack, and they've up to have 10 players, and they've got the sound and the music and all going. I believe it is called, when you go into, it's SNES. Sorry, just let me get the name of it. When you go into the 4G mode, if you can look that up. Oh, darn. I can't remember. It's SNES. Rainbow. I'm sure if you search for Rainbow Road, it will pop out.
That looks like lots of fun. Screen now.
Yeah, right, there's a video of it there. Yeah. I mean, I remember years ago the maps that Womble used to make in Halo 4. We had such good nights on that. And I fancy a bit of a gamer night with us here. That would be fun. A bit of Mario Kart in Halo land. Okay, so we don't have any speak pipes this week, I don't think.
No, this week.
No. But Stephen Radcliffe was on Facebook, and just to give a wee quick shout out, he finished Dishonored 2, and he's saying it is his retrospective game of the year for 2016. He says it was brilliant, even better than the first one, and the voice cast was fabulous. And I didn't realize Sam Rockwell was in Dishonored. There you go. And he would give it a 9.5 out of 10. A lot of people have really got a lot of love for Dishonored. Anyway, kids, it's that time. Jason Johnson has sent us in some trivia. So we have Commander Mark 1. We've got Amras and Kim Car Drywallian. Okay. If you can get yourselves ready on the show notes for your answers, please. Question number 1. How many Mario games were released for the GameCube? Now, you should know this, Amras.
What's the GameCube?
How many Mario games were released for the GameCube? Was it 12, 24, 3, or 9? 12, 24, 3, or 9? And your answers after 3, 1, 2, 3... So we have, let me see the right answer. Is that and I can happily tell you that you're all completely wrong. The correct answer, there were 12 games released, which
does he say which ones? Because I cannot think of, I can only think of 2. Actually, that
I'm quite sure Jason will let you know. Jason, would you send a direct message to Amas and tell him how many Mario games released?
I just don't know.
He doesn't believe you.
I just have no idea.
Next question. How many achievements has Mark Anix unlocked for Gears of War 3?
3.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear.
Is it A, 29, B, 47, C, 36, or D, 58? So that's 29, 47, 36, or 58. Oh, Mark, no cheating.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm looking at the keyboard where my letters are. Look, no hands. Yeah, this is tough because we played a lot of Gears 3, didn't we, Kim? A lot of horde. Yeah, go on, I'm ready. Right. I'm going to. This is
okay. Okay. Let's go. Answers. And the correct answer is 58. Which was A.
Wow.
You have completely failed, Mark.
I knew the guy that many.
Just like me on Forza.
Yeah. Now, it's a bugger, is Teflon, because if it had said how much gamer score, I'd have been closer. But the number of achievements, I never really monitor that. I always monitor it in gamer score.
There you go.
Sly
bugger. The gear achievement is. Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that, Jason. So the scores, that means that a certain fantastic gentleman is still in the lead of the podcaster's quiz, and he is a fantastic gentleman. I'm sure you can guess who that is.
Yeah, Viva La Pedros. Oh, no, it's you, Robin.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of all these. So there was Super Mario Sunshine. I hope these are all right on there. Mario Kart Double Dash, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. I don't know if he's counting Super Smash Brothers in there. Luigi's Mansion, Super Mario Strikers. I completely forgot about all the sports games. I didn't even think of sports games.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, Kim, if you have the new releases for that date, would you rattle through for next week's new releases, please?
Sure. Our new releases are.
Come on.
Okay.
Pronounce it.
The CGA 2 for the PC on January 30th.
It's this Gaia.
There you go.
This guy? What guy?
This guy over there.
Doesn't matter.
Constructor HD for PS4, Xbox One, PC on the 31st. Hitman, the complete first season for PS4, Xbox One, PC on the 31st. And Digimon World, New Order, PS4 for the 31st.
I'm kind of
and
tempted
I'm scrolling
by that.
To see if there's any more past that.
Yeah, there's one more.
Oh, and there's one more, I assume. Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World for the 3DS on February 3rd.
So cute, Poochie.
Oh God, I need to get my Poochie amiibo. It's gonna be adorable. He's made out of yarn.
Oh dear. So, okay.
Gary might know the answer to this because I know the Game Punch has brought it up as well. One of my predictions for Nintendo was. The Switch is going to replace the 3DS as well as the Wii U. And Greg would say, oh, no, it won't replace the 3DS because it's so popular. But apparently the 3DS is like rocking horse shit to get hold of now. Do you know if that's going to be the case?
I've never had a problem. Like, I always see them.
All right.
You see more 2DSs around right now, but I think that's because the holiday season really bought them all.
Just announced a new model of 3DS as well. There's another iteration. I think there's another iteration coming very soon.
Not that I've heard yet.
I just heard that somewhere. I just remember on the last Game Punches, Fraser and Steve were both saying that they can't get hold of a 3DS anymore. You can only get 3DS.
Yeah, well, they have greasy hands because maybe they got a hold of them and they stepped out of them. Yeah, that's good. It would be what
I
it
just
is.
Think it's a holiday season. They still haven't gotten the stock or them restocked and stuff. Right. But it's going to be around for a while. They're not going to lose 3DS support in probably at least the next 2 years.
Yeah.
They'll at least be doing that.
The Switch is an expensive piece of hardware that you can hold and drop quite easily from your hand. Do you want to put that in the hands of a 4 or 5 year old? God damn no. There's a market for 2DSs and 3DSs for years to come. Now phones seem to be replacing that very quickly and devices like that as well. But for a proper little gaming console, the 3DS is hard to beat.
Yeah, the 3DS has so much on it too. So many great games like Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
And you can still play original DS games on it. So like it's got, you know, hundreds, thousands of games that you can play.
Yeah, Nintendo. Moving on.
Intendant for one.
Mark, would you have a chat about the new monthly freebies for Xbox, which we can tell you about?
Yeah, the February Games with Gold have been announced for Xbox Live subscription members. On the Xbox One, from the 1st to the 31st of February, you can get Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. And then the big one, which I'm quite happy about, although I've already got it, but I'd be glad more people better play with me with this. From the 16th of February to the 15th of March, you can get Project Cars. That is going to be free for Xbox One. On the 360, and also on Xbox One, backwards compatible, from the 1st to the 15th of February, you can get Monkey Island 2 SE. Is that special edition?
Must be.
I never played Monkey Island, so I'm quite looking forward to that, because I've heard a lot of people say so much about it. One game I have played and finished, and is really, really good, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, 16th to 28th.
If you're a Star Wars fan, me too. Nice. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know, it's well worth playing. I'm sure none of it's canon any longer, but it's a good romp.
I like the storyline in this, where you're like Starkiller, the unknown Sith apprentice. So, yeah, it's good. PS Plus for February haven't been announced yet, so as usual, Sony will probably announce it a couple of days after we go up on the iTunes store and then make us look silly. So we'll probably announce them next weekend.
So they're putting PS Plus up on the iTunes store now, yeah?
No. They will announce their February games after we go on the iTunes store.
My bad.
So when we've gone live with this podcast, they will say what their games are. Then there's going to be another week where
we're
don't
live
know.
Now. On Twitch every Saturday at 11 p.m. in the UK or 6 o'clock. Okay, I'm done.
Right, I'll say this in an easier way and try not to be clever about it. We don't know what we are yet. We'll find out next week.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so as far as the Overseas Connection goes, we have lots of clubs. Clubs. We do clubs really well. We have the best clubs. They are great. We do clubs really, really good. We know about clubs. And you can join clubs on the Xbox and the PlayStation Network. So join the OC Podcast Club and we'll do stuff there. So the next thing is our victory achieved and the year of living gamelessly, YOLG hashtag. That's the one, the dirty 30, the thing that has taken over my life that I spend at least 2 hours a day managing. And I'm loving it. Don't get me wrong. This started as a victory achieved. When you finish a game, you take a selfie with yourself in the photograph. Very important. And the credits of the game or the achievement in the background. And you tweet that photograph off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved. And we will enter you into a 3-month draw. I think that draw is ending at the end of February. And that winner, drawn at random, wins money to spend on games, which is kind of cool. And you've actually been on the other side of the planet if you do not know about the Year of Living Gamelessly. So that is listing 30 games to finish within 12 months instead of buying new stuff. You can find all about that in bongo.ocpod.com. And if you are a dirty 30 gamer, when you're sending in your victory achieved, also have the hashtag YOLG. So when you go to bongo.ocpod.com, you'll see that photograph. You'll see how you're progressing through your dirty 30. It's a wonderful thing. It really is good. And today we uploaded the latest therapy session, which is 30 Dirty Minutes. And we had Mike Chin from the Veteran Gamers and Chris Williams from Boss Wave on my chaise longue, talking about the problems they have with their addiction. They opened their hearts, they talked about their problems, and we sorted their issues out with their Dirty 30. It was beautiful. The love was tangible in the room.
Mike got quite emotional, didn't he?
He did. And you can download 30 Dirty Minutes on the Overseas Connection feed right now. It's probably already on your device. So the people that completed games this week, Kim, would you like to talk through this list?
Sure. We'll start with our Year of Living Gamers, of course. We have SLH with Botanicula, Andy Banganwagon, that kills me every time, Battlefield Hardline, Awesome Rob 29 with Never Alone, Mr. Miyagi with Assassin's Creed Syndicate, PG Tips with Sleeping Dogs, Cheesesteak 87, Saints Row 4.
Sorry, Cheesesteak's a new person. That's a new name. That's great.
Yes. Alrighty. Number One Stuntmaster with Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, SLH with another great game, Death Spank. And we have Cheesesteak 87 with The Wolf Among Us, Jess Bug with World of Van Helsing Death Trap, Frasier Moo with Grow Home, Bobbins with Limbo, Death Yay! Of Debbie.
Sorry, with Call Bobbins. Of Duty. Bobbins. It's another new person in there. Bobbins, yeah. For the rescue.
With Dastardly Jebby with Call of Duty Black Ops 3. And scrolling. We have Amorous 89 with Dragon Quest. We have Chris MJW with Prince of Persia, Forgotten Sands. Then we have Colin for the win with Borderlands 2. Caliburn M with Hitman. Womble with Battlefield 1. And Heavy Evil with Guitar Hero 3.
And another round of applause for Heavy Evil as he completes Guitar Hero 3 on expert mode. Wow. I think he's working
that's
his way
two, yeah,
through.
Yeah, it's two. He's done yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Guitar Hero 6, and I think now he's working his way through Rock Band. So, again, a fabulous amount of completions. Again, the support for Victory Achieved and the Year of Living Game has just been fantastic. Really, really good. And all of those people that completed games, a word from our overlord.
Yep, here we go.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Just, it doesn't get old, does it?
No, it doesn't.
All right, so if you want to join us here and be part of the conversation, we broadcast weekly on twitch.tv/OC podcast at 11 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. West Coast, and 6 p.m. East Coast. You can email the show. We would love to get emails at podcast@ocpod.com, and of course tweet us, very active on tweets @OC_podcast. Our Facebook group is fb.ocpod.com, and we would love a review on iTunes or wherever you want to review us, YouTube, you name it, you can do it. Please join our clubs, and of course we've got a group on Steam, and we have a brand new thing this week, which is wonderful. It's brilliant, and it's active, and Mark is heading up Discord, and Discord has a nice easy link now as well. Mark, what is it?
It's discord.ocpod.com. That's discord.ocpod.com, and that'll take you straight to the Overseas Connection podcast page, and it acts like an invite, so as long as you've got an account with Discord, you'll get you straight in there.
That's where all the new kids are hanging out.
Yep.
Discord.
Yeah. By the way, if your phone is blowing up as much as mine is, you can turn off the notification settings to be like for a certain channel that you're following or something, because my phone will not shut up.
Yeah, last night I went to bed, and my light going to bed is late. I think it was 3 a.m. I went to bed last night, and these lot are going, messages back and forth going, bing, 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 like 3 a.m.
We're talking about the lovely Dickbot.
Yeah, Dickbot, yeah. If you want to know what Dickbot is, you've got to join our Discord.
Okay. Guys,
leave you alone.
Gary, thank you very, very much for coming onto the show. Is there anything you would like to promote? Anybody you'd like to shout out? Or would you like to discuss hamsters?
I used to have a hamster whenever I was very young. Her name was Karen. Anyway,
Karen the hamster.
I don't even know how I came up with the name. It was actually my mom's boss's name. I don't even know why I named her that. Anyway, well, you can find me over at The Gamesman. We will be recording tomorrow, and I believe our special guest, as far as I know, if it's still on, is Mr. Major Linux. So, we'll be doing that tomorrow. But yeah, you can find us at thegamesman.com. Follow the podcast, Gamesman RPG. Other than that, shout out Dan for calling me a traitor for being in here on another podcast. Oh, I'll shout out because he announced it. Pilchards and Cream, I will be on that this week.
Yay.
Coming up. So I get to be a part of a quiz with something that may have red in it. And it's going to be super difficult questions. I don't know. Poor Psalm. By the way, shout out my new best friend, Psalm, because he loves Nintendo just as much as me. Yeah. And he is a lovely man. And other than that, I guess you guys for having me on. It's always fun to be on here. I can't remember the last time I've actually been on with Kim. So
I know,
it's been
right?
Good to be on with you for once.
Thank you. You too.
Yay. I guess I'll pass it on to Kim from there.
Alrighty. Yeah, that's me. I'm at GamerGirl27 on Twitter, also on Xbox. That's pretty much where you'll find me when I'm not, you know, sacked out in my recliner trying to recover from the day of, you know, house construction. But as usual, it was fun with you guys. It always is. You know, it's always a good time. And, of course, our chatters that kept the chat box jumping and stuff. There was, of course, Hardly Dan. And good luck, Dan, on your surgery. We're pulling for you. There was Night Raven. Frasier was in there. Defoe was there. You know, it was a jumping little box today. So
Martin was in there as well, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, you guys are the reason we do this. So thanks for coming along for the ride. It's fun as always. How about you, Mark?
Yeah. Excuse me. You can get me on Twitter at Markanix. My Yolg blog is at markanix.com. I'm also Markanix on Xbox Live, PSN and Steam. I want to shout out to my mum because it's her birthday in 2 days. Woo. So happy birthday, mum. She is the, I don't know if I should say her age. It's not nice, is it really? But
not going to listen.
No, she won't. But she's one of those numbers where it makes you giggle. So I'll just say that. 69.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And all the Discord users who's joined up recently and are chatting away vigorously, it's absolutely fantastic. And also to Dan for his surgery next week, or this week, or Tuesday, I think it's going in. So, yeah,
good luck,
Dan. Yeah,
upcoming week, yep.
Yep. How about you, Robin?
I'd like to also shout out Dan. Dan, I hope it all goes well for you next week, and you can get back to play Elite with Mark and talk about Thrustmasters and rimming and all those things, wonderful things. Greg, I hope the training's going well for you tonight and look forward to you back in a week or so. I have to shout out PG Tips because I have to shout out PG Tips. And I want to also shout out Bobbins and Cheesecake87 and SLH for joining the Loggers this week. That's kind of cool. Caliburn M. Caliburn, I do not have your list. Please send it to me. You said you have and I do not have it. Let me get you listed up there. Please. I would just like to say you can get me at Bongo the Sane. Please go to the Year of Living Gamerously blog, bongo.ocpod.com, and you can email me at robin@ocpod.com or bongo@ocpod.com, whatever you want. Guys, Gary, Mark, and Kim, thank you very, very much for making this an enjoyable and fun show tonight. And thanks for everybody that listened in live and who will be listening in their cars or in their beds with us coming in their ears. Moving on. Thanks very much, guys. It's been a nice show. We will see you all this time and next week. And we are kind of out of here. Laters.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. see you same time next week.
Oh, hello.
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 Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, Robin.
Looking sexy. Nice.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the party.
No problem. Just got home, really. Getting everything set up.
I've just kicked everybody out. I've just been watching a little bit of The Net. Sandra Bullock job. Remember The Net? Oh, yeah. No?
She's making a new film, isn't she, with Rihanna?
Oh.
Can't remember what it's called. Oh, Ocean's Summer. It's a women's one. Ocean's 8. I like Sandra Bullock.
Teflon's questions.
Well, if a Nintendo wins, Gary's going to win.
Yeah.
For that.
Nice pussy you've got there, Gary.
Yeah, she's she always jumps on, well, it doesn't matter, podcasting or not, but she always jumps on me.
Gary, do you have access to the show notes, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, well, I don't mess about. Don't call me Greg.
Is it Trump Training School? Okay. Just and I need to get that there up as well. Twitch! To Twitch. I want to play games.
Hey! Welcome to the Overseas Connection Podcast. We like to Twitch. We like to play games. We like to Twitch. We like to play games. Enjoy the show.
There you go.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
Fucking time.
My fucking internet. You know how it is.
Brenda and a bad guy hit me in the shin, and I peed all in my pants.
Looking a little music can't help.
Well, how am I hearing that?
Rockin' man, rollin'.
I'm hearing that through one of you guys.
I can hear it.
I swear, when it comes to internet, my house is full of bad juju. I don't know. Or at least it's the laptop. Maybe the laptop's cursed. I don't know.
You should be running it through copper, not rock.
Yeah, right?
Fuck you.
No?
Mark, I'm going to quit Skype just in case it's the Skype thing. Okay?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Gary, sorry for giving you some shit, but it was fun. So, Mark, this time next month, we will have survived or not meeting Princess Nicole.
Yeah.
And I think we should, when we first meet her, I think the first thing that we should do a little dance.
Throw a pie in her face.
Yeah. I want to Twitch. I want to play. I think we should just start and do it. You
should
know,
have a shirt.
I will miss you all.
Wear.
That's all I'm going to say. I will miss you all.
What do you think she would do?
She'll go.
Hadouken. Hadouken to your face.
Start getting seeds ready for the garden. That's the big thing that's going to be happening.
Cannabis and, stuff I got there. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Guys, yeah, you were really good tonight. That was good. That was a good, solid show. We did well there tonight because none of us have played anything really new.
No. Fault for Jorgen.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I know. I'm talking and I'm going, this is all my fucking fault.
No, well, I'm just deflecting because all I've played is Elite.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.